Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
You know, this is, I'm the guest evangelist today. And we were talking this morning before service, and they were saying we just really want to flow with the last worship song and to having you come up. And I said, well, it's awesome to see that sensitivity, because a couple of weeks ago I was speaking at an event in Fort Worth, Texas, and every night it was like God ordained the worship songs to confirm the message that he was going to have me speak. And what was cool is this last song that they were going to do, they probably didn't know that Wednesday I was in the ER with pneumonia and a pulse ox down to 87. And so literally when I saw "You Are My Breath in My Lungs" this morning, that's all I needed to see to know that today God wants to be specific in your life. Can I challenge you right now? I've already got my confirmation. God's touching my lungs this morning, and I know he wants to do the same thing in your situation. So you know what we do so many times? We come into a setting like this and we miss out on what God wants to specifically do in our lives because we're always thinking about other people. So can I challenge you right now, everyone in this room, will you decide right now, God, I want to be the one when I'm walking out of here today, I want to be the one that you touched, you healed, you set free, you encouraged, you did something supernatural in my life. Because if you will determine that right now, God's already determined he wants to do it. And he's literally going to be the breath in your lungs today. In other words, what allows you to breathe another week and to go face the world that you have to face tomorrow, God wants to do something specific in your life. So I want to challenge you right now. I want everybody just to bow your heads for just a moment. I'm going to pray a prayer of declaration. And we're going to agree together that no matter what we walked into this room with, we're going to leave it at this altar today. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for the confirmation that what you want to do here today is so special and so specific. So God, we pray right now that you would literally take this moment, you would take this season, you would take this service, you would take these people, that you would take this church, and you would do something that man cannot do. God, literally, you would do what is only supernaturally possible in our lives. So, God, just as when you ministered, when you were on this earth, Lord, there were people that got healed in the middle of your messages. There were people that were set free in the middle of your messages. There were people that dedicated their lives to you in the message, God. And so I pray right now that you would lay a foundation of such faith and expectancy, Lord, because we know today you are a God that wants to do the immediate miracle in our life. And God, we pray right now that before this service is over, there will be some immediate miracles confirmed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. And advance. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, so very much. We really appreciate it. And it is such an honor to be here today. Thank you, Pastor, so much. I really appreciate your pastors. They are incredible, amazing leaders, and their sensitivity is very special, and I know you know how special they are. And thank you so much for allowing us this privilege today, Pastor. We really appreciate it. And we bless all the children as they are going off. They are excited. They are running. They are running. Ah, get out of here before that guy starts preaching. Oh, no, it's the adults. You know what? That just reminded me of something. Earlier this year, I fly almost weekly of my life, and I go through Chicago O'Hare Airport a lot. And recently, I was on a connection, and I received a phone call, and it was from a mother that had been at a church that I had spoken a couple of weeks before. And she called me. The reason she called me, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know anything about her. The reason she called me is she was sure that the pastor of that church, that she wasn't even a member, she was just visiting, she was sure that the pastor had told me that she was going to be there with her family visiting. And she was sure that the pastor told me her story. And I assured her, in the most respectful way, I'm sorry, ma'am, I do not mean any disrespect, but I have no idea who you are. And no, the pastor did not tell me. I didn't know you were there, and I definitely don't know your story. She says, well, she said, the thing that you got to understand is God did something so amazing that day, and I just didn't think there was any way possible that you didn't know that we were there and that you didn't know our story, because our story is quite dramatic, because the very reason she was there, and this is an encouragement to everyone that is involved, and if I've ever heard a story that pastors will love to share, it's this story, because first of all, the only reason they were there the day that I was speaking at this church is because the week prior, they had come to visit that church, and her young children that she had with them, she said, the only reason we came back that Sunday is because my children in children's church, they sang one song that my kids love so much that they begged me to bring them back. One song in children's church. One song in children's church. And the reason that was so powerful, because God had a message, and I had no idea that they were there, but the story that happened because of one song in children's church is they were there that weekend, and she was there also with her 19-year-old daughter sitting next to her in that service. And the reason why that's such a big deal is last year, that 19-year-old daughter decided she was going to give up on life and she was going to commit suicide. But how she wanted to commit suicide, she was going to call 911, and she was going to wait until the policeman got there. And the police did come. It was two policemen. And she waited until they got there, and then she pulled out her pistol and stuck it to the brain and pulled the trigger. And the reason why this made news is because the officer, one of the officers, was videoing this on his iPhone, I think. And as soon as she shot, he didn't stop the recording, but he stuck it in his pocket. So you don't see the video, but you hear the audio. And what you hear is two policemen with two different perspectives. One was a soldier, and he had seen injuries like that, and he's like, there's no way. I don't care what we do, she ain't going to survive. But the other one says, I've got a pulse, and I'm not going to quit. And he called out the emergency call for the ambulance to come, and he's just literally, it blew the right front lobe of her brain off. And it just, anybody can imagine what that scene must have been like. But that officer says, I'm not going to give up. And when the paramedics got there, the paramedic says, we're not going to give up. And they got her to the hospital, and then the surgeon said, I'm not going to give up. But most importantly, Jesus said, I'm not going to give up. And now this year, she is alive. She is a well. She's not a vegetable. She's able to talk. She's able to communicate. And so I say that to you today, that whether you're here as an invitation, whether you're a visitor or whether you attend here, God is specifically laser focused on you. Amen. And so it is a privilege and honor. I thank you for being patient with me this morning. As you can imagine, I've been on antibiotics and prednisone and all this other stuff this week. But God has truly touched me and allowing me to be able to fly out here yesterday and be here, because I know that God wants something special in your life today. And so I know that as you open yourself up to God and His will, God is going to do something amazing. Amen? Just really quickly, because some of you don't know who I am, my wife and I are full-time evangelists. We live in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And in fact, closing in on my 22nd year as an evangelist. I've had the privilege of going around the world, 55 countries, 45 of the U.S. states, and it doesn't matter where or when we go to places, it's just always wonderful to come together with God's people. And one of the unique things about our ministry is our Soccer Salvation Camps and Crusade. And I think this is so special because this really hit home on this Veterans Day. I don't know if you've heard much about this, which is a tragedy, but did you hear a few weeks ago about some special forces guys being killed in Niger, Africa? Some of us have. Niger, Africa, where these highly trained soldiers were killed, and some of them pretty bad stuff. Well, the reason why that's hit home to me is because in 1998, I was in Niger, one of the more dangerous places for Christians and definitely Americans to be. And out of one of the most dangerous places I've ever been, because literally we were at the missionary's house one day and the Muslims surrounded the house and started rocking us over the walls. The missionary, after I flew out to come back home, he was shot in his vehicle, went through the door into his leg, and he had to be medevaced to Paris for a special surgery. But it was that trip that God placed upon me a whole creative ministry that I would have never come up in an entire lifetime, and that is to use soccer for the kingdom of God. And it was in Niger that God started that vision in 1998. And since then, we've done 40 of these all over the world. And we go into places, we work with a local church, and then we go out and we invite 100 to 150 kids that do not go to church. Their families are unreached, and we bring them in for a free soccer salvation camp. And we feed them, we clothe them. Every kid gets a brand new Bible. Every kid gets a brand new soccer ball. But more than that, everyone gets the greatest gift of all, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ. We have literally, amen. And the unique thing about that is I don't play soccer. God and his creativity, right? So many people ask me all the time, because literally I'm known a lot of circles as the soccer man. And that's as far away from the truth as possible. And people are always asking me, why do you think God chose you to be used in a soccer ministry when you don't even play soccer? And I said, you know what? That's a very good question. So I asked God, I said, God, why did you do that? He says, well, and this doesn't apply to every situation, but in my situation, this is what he told me. He says, well, he said, I knew you weren't passionate about soccer, so you would never allow it to become about soccer. But I know you're passionate about me, so you'll always allow it to become passionate about me. So it's always going to be about Jesus. And that's literally why we've been in places that are Muslim and Buddhist countries. And I'll never forget in Bangkok, Thailand, that a Pentecostal church was filled to capacity with Muslim and Buddhist moms and dads and children, and they were sitting in a Pentecostal church hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Literally around the world, we have seen thousands, and we've literally seen something supernatural. And you know what? In just a few short weeks, on the 15th of December, I will be in Talagante, Chile. Talagante, Chile, in this South American country, this city specifically is dealing with an incredible amount of witchcraft and darkness. And something that we've never really done with this, we always have crusades every night of the camp in which we have a desire to reach the families and the neighborhood of the church. But this time we felt the need to have a citywide crusade because Talagante needs a move of God. And we know that God wants to do that. And that's just in a few short weeks. So I just want you to know a little bit more about who we are, that we are not just evangelists staying here in the U.S. every week, but we go literally in every one of these camps and crusades we do. We try to do multiple ones every year that we have to raise around $20,000. And so I just want you to know that as we prepare in a few weeks to go to Talagante, Chile, the week before Christmas, that you would be praying with us. And hopefully in your way in, you received our prayer card. If you would pray for us. I received an invitation just this past week to go to Pakistan to do a crusade. I received an invitation earlier this year to go to Egypt to do a national conference for the Pentecostal Christians in Egypt, and literally the week after I received that, ISIS sent 4 suicide bombers into 2 churches on a Sunday morning and blew up 48 people. Later on this year in Egypt, the ISIS terrorists surrounded a whole caravan and shot 28 Christians. So the places we're being asked to go are not easy places, and they are not safe places. And that's why we need people like you standing with us, supporting us, praying for us, and believing with us that we will be able to go into these places that are so dark and let the light of Jesus Christ shine through. So thank you so much. Thank you for having a part in that, and we appreciate that so very much. Would you stand for the reading of God's word with me this morning and turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Now, how many have your amens ready to go this morning? Are they all warmed up and ready to go? How many's got your hand claps ready? Amen? Are you ready? Now, I may live in Pennsylvania now, but anybody that's known me for very long knows I'm a Southern preacher, okay? I'm from the South. I lived all of my life in Oklahoma and Texas. So therefore, can you make me just feel at home this morning? Because believe it or not, you're further south than where I live, and so you've got to be a Southern crowd, okay? And so just jump in there with me this morning. We're going to have a great time. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. If you found it, say amen. Amen. If you're still lost, say, oh no. God saves the lost. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Father, I ask for these next few moments that you would literally saturate us with your anointing. And that, Holy Spirit, that you would have the freedom to operate in the gifts this morning. Lord, we are a people, we are a nation that is in desperate need of our Lord and Savior touching us. There is a leprosy of sin. There is a leprosy of sickness. Lord, there are so many things that are trying to come against the body of Christ and against our nation. But Lord, we know as we celebrate our veterans and their sacrifice and the ultimate sacrifice of those that have paid with their lives, God, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your mercy today. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do here today. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This story has always stood out to me because I think that we've got to try to understand the situation before we can understand the impact. And the situation was back in the times that Christ walked on this earth, leprosy was that disease that basically said, you can no longer hang out with people that are well. Basically, you are sent to a camp that everybody else has leprosy. Wouldn't that have to be one of the most saddest, most pathetic places to have to try to get better? And so you understand that here is this man that when he sees anyone around him, he has to declare, don't get close to me because I have leprosy and it's very contagious, so stay away. And I think ultimately, if we really want to understand who Christ is and what he wants to do, is we got to understand his heart in this story. Because that guy cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And you know what Jesus could have done at that moment? He could have said, okay, stay right there, buddy. I got you. Okay, you got leprosy. I can touch you from here, you stay away. You know what? Unfortunately, a lot of people think that that's what religion is like. A lot of times they think that's what Christ is like. He stays at a distance. He doesn't really get involved. Oh, he can touch me. He can bless me. But no, right here illustrates the ultimate message
and the heart of God is he could have touched and healed that guy with leprosy from standing afar, but he says, no, I'm going to touch him. God desires to touch your life today. Could you imagine 1 week ago as we were celebrating in houses of worship across our great nation that somebody so full of rage and anger and bitterness would have the capacity to walk into a service, First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, and do the absolutely unthinkable act of walking up to kids, babies, and shooting them execution style in the head, killing elderly, killing moms, dads, brothers and sisters, and nieces and nephews. An absolute carnage took place 1 week ago in a little small town in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we have to ask ourselves, you know what? A few weeks ago when we saw the massacre in Las Vegas, where the thousands of people are at a concert, well, that was horrible and that was tragic. That was absolutely unthinkable. But it became a little bit more real when last week we saw what took place in this small little town and small little church. So I don't think that there's ever been a more appropriate time for the church in America to understand this one thing. Is there is a world outside the walls of our churches that they're hurting, and they've got leprosy of sin and darkness and bitterness and addictions and hate and anger, and it is not a time for the church in America to regress. It is not a time to say stay away or stay out. It is time for we as the body of Christ to do what Christ did and say, we don't care how much leprosy you have inside of you. We're going to touch you with the touch and the love of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus did. We have got to get to that point, church, because if we thought we were outside the realms of the battlefield, we have just been reminded 1 week ago that we are actually in the midst of the battle. You see, I thought about the man in Las Vegas that shot all those people. I thought, you know what? Somebody in his world, somebody in his life, somebody had to have seen something, and if only they would have reached out and touched him. 1 week ago, people are telling us they saw signs, saw behavior. So what do? We regress. Did you see just at the end of August, the world once again, 20 years later, was reminded of one of the great tragedies of our modern history times, and that is the tragic, untimely, too early death of Princess Diana. And because this was the 20-year anniversary of her death in Paris, France, so many different TV networks put together TV shows for the purpose of looking back at that most tragic moment of a princess. I still remember that 20 years ago. I still remember Saturday night. We were in a small apartment in Euless, Texas, when we heard that she had died. And now, 20 years later, we're talking about a princess that died? Why is that? Why is all these TV networks still talking about it? Why is it that when she died, millions around the world that would have never met her, nor would they have ever been able to meet her, were absolutely consumed with sadness and tears. A princess that seemingly would seem so untouchable, so at a level that we would never even understand. Why did it bother so many people that she died? I got to thinking about this. Do you remember that back the few years before Princess Diana would die, that the leprosy that was consuming the world, remember what it was? Of course you do. It was AIDS. AIDS at that time was the leprosy. Do you remember how uneducated we were? I mean, man, if somebody had AIDS, you did not want to be around them if there were mosquitoes. Yeah, because if the mosquito bit them and then came over and bit you, oh, yeah, you might as well just die. Remember that? There was just like this mass hysteria. And so we all had this image of, if you got AIDS, stay away. And it was a death sentence back then. It was bad news. In fact, the very first position I ever held as I was finishing up my degree at Bible school was I was a youth pastor at this church. And we had a 31-year-old young man that was one of our sound men. And he was awesome. He was a great Christian. But he had a past like all of us do. And so there was a point in his life that he was not a Christian. He wasn't serving God. In fact, he was doing drugs. And one unfortunate night, he used a dirty needle. And he would find out that dirty needle would cost him his life because he was diagnosed with AIDS. After that, he got saved, gloriously saved, touched, but he had AIDS. And because this happened in the early 90s, we didn't know what to do. And I can tell you that I've seen a lot of people face death, fight disease. But I have never seen anyone die a more horrific death than I did. I would go up there day after day and week after week when he just was placed in the hospital for his last few weeks of life. He was covered with these sores all over his body, and it was truly horrific to see. He was in so much pain. And the thought that grabbed me, the sadness of that situation that grabbed me, here is a man that knows he's going to heaven. Here is a man that is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But he is languishing in a hospital room in such severe pain and disease. And the reason why it moved me so much was at his sickest, nobody could touch him. You know why? Because he was so contagious. The sores were oozing. And so every time someone walked into that hospital room to visit, didn't matter if it was his mother, didn't matter if it was his doctor, a nurse, or a youth pastor was coming up to sit with his buddy and pray with him. Every time somebody walked in that room, he had to have a full gown on, had to have a mask on, had to have gloves on. So at his sickest, at the point in his life that he was the loneliest, the point in which he was facing death, every day when somebody else would walk into his room, he was told one huge thing, and that is, you can't touch me. Nobody could touch him. He would never feel the touch of flesh to flesh, hand to hand. At the point that he needed the touch of his mother the most, she was not allowed to touch him. And the reason that stands out and trying to understand why were we captivated by Princess Diana It's because she did the unthinkable. She was a princess. She lived in palaces. She had tiaras. She had the most beautiful clothes. She lived the life that only a princess would live. And yet, at the height of the hysteria, she would go to an AIDS ward in a hospital. And she would do the unthinkable. She would sit down on the edge of a bed of a man that was dying of AIDS. And just at that point that you're the sickest, at that point that you feel the most lonely, at that point that you feel so separated, the princess did something. And I think that that's the reason why she captured the world's attention and love and affection, is because she did something that she didn't have to do, but she did something that was so important. She sat down on the edge of a bed of a man dying of AIDS, and she reached out and she touched him. And it was at that moment that endeared a world of adoring fans for this lady. But that little simple act was nothing compared to what Jesus did for the leper. You see, church, there is a world around us. They're dying. They have the leprosy of sin. They have the leprosy of depression. They have the leprosy of addiction. They have the leprosy of things that we don't even see. So what do we do? What is our responsibility as the body of Christ? How should we, how can we communicate Christ to those that are so sick? I can tell you about a boy that was sexually molested when he was 10 years old. And for 11 years, he lived in an isolated, lonely place. For he was a child that was trying to deal with the unthinkable. So he buried that. He tried to forget it. And for 11 long years, 11 long years, no one knew the leprosy of the pain of that horrific act of a child pedophile. At the point that the most he needed someone to touch him, to reach him, to be there for him, to have compassion. It wasn't 11 years later that he would allow God to walk him through that painful process of allowing God to come in and touch him and heal him of a broken past, of situations that nobody should have to go through. And the reason that is so important is that little boy learns something so valuable, is that you don't have to do life alone. You do not have to do life in which you are so isolated, no matter if it's stuff that you've caused in your own life or if it's things that others have caused in your life. There is a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that wishes to get involved with your life, and he doesn't care how dirty it is. He doesn't care how contagious it is. He doesn't care how overwhelming and dark it is. He is going to get involved in your life, and he's going to do it by touching you with his love and forgiveness. You see, that little boy was me. I'm only here because Christ touched me. Do you know what statistics tell me? Statistics tell me I should have committed suicide. I should be in prison. I should have given up on life. Statistics tell me I should be mad at the world and mad at God. But I'm so glad that I can read stories in my Bible that shows the heart of Jesus Christ. That he gets involved right where we need him to get the most involved. You see, this story has no impact of Jesus just meeting a strange man that he's never met. It has no impact if the guy was healed. It has no impact if he had no disease. Big deal. Oh, Jesus shook the guy's hand. Hey, good to talk to you. Moving on. No, because the man had disease. Because he was crying out. Because he didn't have an answer. That's why Jesus wants to get involved. I had a moment in my early years as an evangelist. Maybe it was 3 years into being an evangelist, and it was a Sunday morning just like this. I showed up at a church to speak on Sunday morning. When it was time for me to speak, the pastor turned it over to me, and I came up and began to preach. Maybe 10 minutes in, 10, 15 minutes into the message, the unthinkable happened. When I tell you what happened, as awkward as that sounds, multiply it by a million, and maybe you'll begin to understand what I was going through at that moment. Because as I'm up here standing up, and I am pouring my heart out, and I am preaching, all of a sudden, without any prompting, without anything, the pastor literally gets up, walks up on stage, takes the mic out of my hands, says, just please sit down, without any explanation, gets up, prays a very simple dismissal prayer, says amen, and dismisses everybody. What heresy was I preaching? What did I say? I was going through in my mind. Lord, I don't know. This is not good. I'm trying to get established as an evangelist, and I do not want it to get out that pastors walk up and stop me in the middle of my message. Either I was preaching something that was really bad, or I was preaching really bad. For him to interrupt me. But you know what? It wasn't anything that I was thinking. Let me tell you what happened. See, when I showed up that morning, I didn't know what the church just went through. I didn't know what had taken place the week before. See, the week before, on a Sunday morning, the pastor gets up, preaches a powerful message as he always did. At the end of the service, dismissed everyone. There was a couple there that always attended this church, was always there. They were there that morning. They went home that afternoon to their house. They ate lunch. Then they sat down next to each other on the couch. And then a little bit later, the wife gets up without any word to her husband. She walks into their bathroom, pulls a gun out, and kills herself. The pastor is the local fireman chaplain. He gets the phone call. And he goes to the house and comes face to face with one of the greatest tragedies that he's ever had to face as a minister. This was one of his family. You see, that week, that church had went through the most excruciating, painful thing that any family would ever have to go through. The Friday before I would speak on Sunday, they had the funeral. The church was devastated. The pastor was devastated. Do you know why he stopped me? He was being a shepherd. Because I didn't know anything about this, and I was starting to share a story about a 15-year-old young man that had never heard the words, I love you, from his father. And so he made a very poor decision one night by getting out his shotgun, and he was going to commit suicide. And the pastor sensed where the story was going, and all he knew at that point is, I've got to protect my flock. And he did exactly what he should do. And please don't misunderstand the reason I share the story. It has nothing to do with me. Pastor apologized a million times. He didn't need to do that. I've been back to speak for him. It wasn't about that at all. But the point that is made from this story is this. That when we hear stories like that, may it be the very reminder and the accountability that we have as the body of Christ. Because you're making an assumption right now that we need to quit making in the house of God. And that is the person we sit next to is all okay. Because they may be facing the most difficult battle of their life. And maybe this service is the service that they decide is the last chance. The last chance for something to happen. The last chance for somebody to touch me. The last chance for someone to be sensitive enough to hear from God and to recognize that you're hurting. Your marriage is falling apart. Your finances are falling apart. You're overwhelmed. You're fighting depression. You're fighting addiction. You're fighting sin. You're fighting things that people don't know. And God is calling the body of Christ to an accountability and a responsibility that we can no longer be the church that just walks by and says, oh, bless you, leopard, keep on walking, keep going back. No, he says now is the time to recognize and understand if we're going to put signs up that we are a house of God, if we're going to declare that we are open at 10 o'clock for service, then we better have service. We better have an environment that people can get touched, they can get healed, they can get delivered, they can be encouraged, they can break through. That is our responsibility. I'll never forget the season I was going through cancer, and the cancer had spread, and I was going through treatment day in and day out, and it was weary, and I was worn down, and I was sick, and I was tired of fighting. And I'll never forget every time I had to go in for the radiation treatment, and they would get you all prepared, and they would shut this huge steel vault door, and everybody would have to get out. But may I tell you, that's when Jesus comes in, when nobody else can come into your situation. That's when my Lord and Savior comes in. And he reached out, and he touched the man, and he says, you are healed. May we be called to a place that God touches us, and in turn, then we touch those around us. I want you to stand with me, if you would, please, this morning. Father, I know that today you are here with a divine purpose. God, I know today that there are people that are standing in this room right now. And the biggest thing that they need before leaving this house of worship today is to come in contact with your touch, the touch of your love, the touch of your healing, the touch of your forgiveness, the touch of encouragement. God, maybe this has been the loneliest, darkest place in the time of their life. And God, the last thing they need is just another service. God, the last thing they need is some form of religion. God, what they need is the same thing that the leper needed that day. God, would you use this church right now? Would you use this environment right now, Lord, to create that environment that was created that day on that road that that leper saw you? And the moment he saw you, Lord, was a moment that he had every expectation that a miracle was going to happen. Because I have found Jesus. God, may you take this moment. May you take this service. May you take this church and have the impact that people in this room right now so desperately need. God, I pray right now that not one person would feel unloved and untouched by your love. But Lord, that right now would be that supernatural moment in their life that they so desperately need. With your heads bowed, I want to quickly ask this morning, who here today, you would say, Ron, this message was for me. I know that the greatest need of my life is I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, because I realize I have the leprosy of sin and guilt and bondage in my life. And I recognize and realize before I leave this room that the need, the answer for my life is Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me that Christ would touch me with his forgiveness and his love? I need Jesus. I need his touch. I need his forgiveness. I need his salvation. And you would say, Ron, pray for me because you're talking to me. I'm not following Christ. I'm not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I need Jesus Christ to touch me with his forgiveness. Would you just raise your hand and say, Ron, that's me. I want you to pray for me. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now I want to ask one other question to every Christian in this room. You say, Ron, this message was for me today because I need God to touch me. I'm dealing with something in my life maybe nobody else knows about, maybe everybody knows about, but you're sick, you're discouraged, you're battling, you're overwhelmed. You need a miracle. You need a financial miracle. You need a miracle in your marriage. You need a miracle in your child. You need a miracle in your body. You need a miracle of healing. You need a miracle of a job. You need a miracle in some area of your life. And you recognize and understand that God is the God of miracles. God is the God that gets involved right where we are. And he touches us no matter how much leprosy, no matter how much situation is in our life. And you say, Ron, I'm a Christian. I love God. But I need God to touch me with a miracle in my life today. Would you just raise your hand if that's you? If you raised your hand for either one of these questions, I want you to quickly come and stand at this altar right now. Come on, quickly. God's going to touch you right now. Come on. We're going to wait for you in the balcony. Come on. This is a moment that is set up by God. God is walking through your community right now, and he wants to touch you. Just come down here and stand. Pastor, if you and your staff and any prayer team could join me up here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If we could just move all the way up so we make sure everybody that gets in the altar that needs to be able to get down here. I want everybody to look at me for just a moment. You see, your pastor has an amazing gifting and is so multi-talented in so many areas.
the staff of this church the same. But as men, as women, we are restricted in what we can do. But the great thing is we represent someone that has no restrictions, and his name is Jesus. So as much as your pastor would love to get involved right now into the way of doing the miracles in your life that you need, he's not able. I'm not able. None of us are able. But Jesus is able. So we're not offering you religion. We're not offering you just a moment of a ritual. No, this is a real moment. Because I stand here today and I'm cancer free. Because God touches you. You got to understand. That girl that tried to kill herself in front of the two policemen, she's alive. She's alive. God wants to do something so supernatural in your life today. And it's not something you have. Did you read in the story that I read this morning about the leper? Did you see any account in the scripture about what happened that day that the leper saying to Jesus, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "Well, do you understand the da-da-da-da-da-da-da?" No. Did you hear Jesus say, "Well, can you quote this and this scripture?" And no. Have you been to church every day for the last year? No. "Well, you want me to heal you, but do you know what you did last week?" No. You know what God wants to do right now? He wants to take away all the excuses of why you don't think God wants to do it in your life. He wants to take away all those things that the enemy's trying to bring in. And he wants to let you know that if a random guy walking by that has leprosy can reach out to Jesus Christ and be instantly healed, then you have the same qualifications. God is wanting to do that in your life. I'm going to lead everyone in a prayer of salvation, a commitment to Christ right now. And I just want everybody to bow your heads, but I want you to take this as serious as God takes it. Because there were several, I think maybe at least five hands that were raised that are standing down here that they need Christ to touch them in the ultimate way, and that is to forgive their sins and to accept him as their Lord and Savior. And there is no greater call, there is no greater good that could be accomplished today than that at this moment. And so I want to ask everyone in this room to pray this prayer with me. And I want you to pray it like it's the first time you prayed it, even if you've been a Christian for 60 years. And I want to challenge those that are praying this prayer of commitment to Christ for the very first time, that God says, if we confess, he will be faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, not the easy ones, not just the shallow ones, not those that just happened 20 years ago, but the big ones, the worst ones, the ones that bring the most guilt. Today is the day that God's going to lift that all off of you, and he's going to completely wipe the leprosy of sin out of your life. He's going to transform your life. He's going to put you on a new path. He's going to put you in a new direction. He's going to change your desires. He's going to remove the flesh desires, and he's going to give you the spiritual desires. God's going to save you. He's going to touch you right now. So everyone say this prayer with me out loud, like you are praying from your heart out of desperation and need to be saved by God. Pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Jesus." Come on, church, let's say it. "Dear Jesus, I need you. Please touch me. Forgive me of all my sins. Set me free from all addictions. Change my desires. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And show me today your great love. In Jesus' name, amen." Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray for every one of you individually. And we're going to believe right now that God's going to do miracles.
And we're going to, and pastor's going to come up in just a moment, close out the service the way they close out the service. But right now is what the whole message has been about. This is what it comes down to. The fact, if you're more worried about the game that's going to happen this afternoon or where you're going to go eat or anything else, that could be the moment that you missed the signs that someone said, this is my last service. I need something to happen today. Can we pray right now? Can we pray for one another? Can we be touched by one another? Can we listen to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to be sensitive and to lead us, to guide us to the person that we're supposed to touch and pray for today? Can we do something right now that is the most unselfish, most sincere thing we could do in representing Christ? Can we pray for people today? Can we pray for one another? Can we be the body of Christ? Because we don't know that this could be the church making national headlines, because you have the next person walking in here pulling out a gun. But may we know that no matter what situation we face, that we have met with God today. Worship team's going to play, and I'm going to ask everyone that's come down here that you allow Jesus Christ to touch you right now and heal you. I'm going to ask pastor and his staff and the spouses and prayer team to come and begin to help me lay hands on these. And we're going to believe right now for these next few moments that God's going to heal, God's going to deliver, God's going to provide, God's going to do miracles, God's going to do something supernatural here right now. Come on, let's pray right now. Let's go to God right now. Everybody else right now that you're out there in the audience, I want you to stretch out your hands and I want you to pray right now. And we're going to believe that God is going to do miracles. Pastor's going to come and dismiss in just a moment. So please, let's go after God right now, because God is wanting to do miracles in this place.